Francisco.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can meet around the work, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you will help us in the scripture this morning. Guide us and direct us and keep us close to you. Work out your good and perfect will in each and everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, brother, come and give us the word.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, great to have you here.
It's good to be here. Well, good morning. Are you glad you're in church today?
This is for you.
Okay.
All right. It's on.
So, listen. Look
at
there.
Clip it and go.
Yep.
Okay. Like that. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my name is Joe Coppas. My family and I are missionaries to the deaf in Peru, South America. And we have the absolute privilege of hosting your young people on a missions trip last year. And I want to say something. And this is a testimony to Pastor Roberts and this church and the parents of these young ladies that came. They are the absolute best group we've ever had. By far, hands down. Number one, I have never had a church call me and ask me what my dress standards were before I had a chance to ask them. And so that was a blessing. And number two, they came down and they just got involved and helped out, and it was just like they belonged. And we were thrilled to have them. It's a great testimony, Pastor, to your ministry and to the ministry of this church and all of you who invest in these young people. You know, one of the things that we're lacking today in Christianity and independent fundamental Baptist churches is there's a command of God for the older ladies to teach the younger ladies how to love their husbands and how to take care of their children and how to be wives. And what's happened is, and we're losing generations of young people because the older ladies aren't taking their responsibilities to teach the younger. And I thank God that from all that I can gather from this church, having only been here 2 minutes, is that's being done here. I had a great conversation with the Bird family. We were talking about various things last night, and they have nothing but wonderful things to say about this ministry, and we're really thrilled to be here. It's actually a great honor for us to be here with you, especially being one of the first churches that we'll have the opportunity to be in and to present our ministry in, and it's a church of like faith and practice, and we appreciate that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this morning, I am a missionary primarily to the deaf, but we also reach hearing people because we believe hearing people can be saved too. Amen?
Amen.
So, but we have our church, a school, and an orphanage for the deaf, and I'll tell you a little more about that when we present the ministry. But what I really wanted to share with you this morning in a form of a lesson is I'm going to share with you a little bit about the deaf and about God's perspective on people who aren't, quote unquote, normal. People who might have a disability or whether they be deaf or they be blind or they be halt or in one form or other have some disability. And why God allowed those people to exist in the world. And a lot of people say, well, it's because of sin, because sin corrupted the seed, and so therefore we have all these things that go on. And it's not necessarily. Did you know God created disabled people on purpose? Did you know that? A lot of people don't understand that, don't realize that. And so I want to share a few biblical thoughts with you on this theme of why God made the deaf and why God made the blind and why God made those who have downs, why God made those who have other disabilities, because God knows exactly what He's doing and He's in control of it all. Amen? And He's on time and He doesn't make any mistakes. You know, we talk a lot about the 1040 window. I don't know if you all are familiar with the 1040 window, but that's that window of where the most unsaved live between the 10 degrees north and 40 degrees in the longitude and latitude of the hemisphere, mostly in the Muslim nations in those areas. And we try to get missionaries in there. I was talking with a missionary just yesterday, director of a mission organization who goes into those areas, and I asked him, because we had spoken on the phone last year, about the possibility of me partnering with him, helping him develop deaf ministries in those churches in the foreign field in the 1040 window. And he told me, he said, we can't do it anymore. Now, here's a guy who's had over 30,000 churches started through nationals and doing a great work, but he said his own people, he said, one day we lost 9 of our pastors in a country. They killed 9 of them. He says, they're getting aware of our methodology, how we go in and start schools and how we go in and start orphanage and how we go in and start these with the, or go in as language teachers and do all that to get the gospel into those nations. And they've gotten wise to it because what happened in Morocco, they found out that some people were doing that. They threw out most all the missionaries that were in Morocco and the word spread through the Middle East. So now, he says, there's nothing you can do. Well, I can't send you there because you could be just walking down the street and you would be a dead man. He says, and then it would be hard for us to send someone from there to you to train because they would almost be impossible for them to get a visa to get out of their country. So there's really just not much we can do right now in the way the world is set up to allow you to do what you thought you were wanting to do, which was set up orphanages for the deaf and through that reach them with the gospel. He said they're wise to it now and they won't let it happen. So you need to pray for that window. We need to pray for those people over there. As we see in the last days, all these things coming to pass, and I'm not a prophecy preacher, but you know I can see the handwriting on the wall a little bit. I mean, we're coming down to the last days. And if you can't see that, we've got to be blind to it. And so we have a job to do, but we can't help people who won't allow themselves to be helped. Jesus said when he came, will he find faith on the earth? And I hate to say this, but he's not just talking about a bunch of lost people. Lost people, they do what lost people do. The problem is, where's the faith in the local churches anymore? And so now we can't even get into that. I can, at least, as it stands right now, I can't do anything to reach those people who I have a great desire to reach. Because I can't train people, nor can I send people to go to those 1040 window countries. Now, we have a Peruvian national man who works in Morocco right now. And we support him from our church at Efata. And he is going in there under the guise of a language instructor. He teaches Spanish to the Moroccan people. But they are so under the radar and so being watched, it's incredible. So to do anything else in there would put his ministry there in danger. And they would love to do something with the deaf, but they're not prepared for it. They're not trained for it. So they just say they're there. They're there, and there's nobody to reach them. So that causes a great burden on my heart, and I'm praying God will open up a window of opportunity one day over there so that we can at least do something. And I'm sure maybe somebody is having some success over there, but none of the people that I know of is having any kind of success in that area. But only 2% of the deaf in the world profess to be Christians. Now, we talk about that silent window, and it has its scope. But you know, there are that 1040 window, but the silent window goes from the North Pole to the South Pole. There are deaf people in every country of the world. Every country. There's not a country that exists that doesn't have somebody who's deaf or hard of hearing. People don't know this, but the population of the deaf in the world, deaf and hard of hearing people, is over 400 million. If you were to take that population and stick it in one country, it would be the third largest country in the world. But it's spread out all over in every nation, every tribe, and every people. And usually, when you talk about third world countries, they're very marginalized. They're not cared for at all. In fact, most third world countries consider the deaf mentally retarded. And so the families reject them. In Muslim countries, they kill them. They don't, anything that's deformed or they don't have a whole lot to do with them in some countries. So, you know, the problem with deaf people is not that they lack capacity. What they lack is opportunity. In America, it's hard to imagine that because you see deaf people in every strata of society, in every vocation that there is, deaf people are involved and can be involved in. They may not be able to be pilots, obviously, because there are some limitations. But as far as being able to use instruments and things of that nature, I don't know, maybe some deaf people fly, biplanes and do crop dusting. but uh, But anything that needs a radio, where a radio is the lifeline to what you do, I'm sure that would be more difficult for a deaf person. But the bottom line is there are deaf lawyers, doctors. They even have deaf in law enforcement in Gallaudet University. And of course, that's a school nothing but deaf people, and so they've allowed it for that. So the deaf people have every advantage. Engineers, I mean, there are deaf engineers, deaf in every walk and area of life in the United States and in Europe and in westernized countries and cultures, because they realized years ago that just because they're deaf doesn't mean they're dumb. Now, the word dumb, of course, means mute, but today it's been changed, and so when people say deaf and dumb, they get offended because they're not dumb. And they're not. Deaf are very sharp people. In Peru, they can't drive, but yet they're some of the best drivers on the road. I remember my roommate was deaf, and we'd be driving down the interstate, and we'd be talking in sign language, and he's just driving with his knee, you know, controlling the steering wheel with his knee. And I'd often wonder sometimes, but he did a good job, never had an accident. I've had more accidents than him. You know, so who's the danger on the road? Amen? So anyways, there are a large population of deaf people, and they're not being reached, to be honest with you. In America, deaf ministry was in vogue in the 70s and 80s, but it's gone out of vogue, so to speak, because a lot has happened in the change of deaf education in America. They've gone into more inclusion programs, so the deaf schools are not as prevalent anymore, so the deaf community is not as tight anymore. But in churches, there was a big push to have deaf ministries and interpreters and all those things, but now the deaf, honestly, the deaf don't need the church anymore. They don't need the church for their socialization because they get it out in the world now. And so you have less of them coming to church and being faithful, getting saved, and so less churches have deaf ministries because they just... we don't have any deaf to come to church, is what they say. And so, but we still need to reach them. And on the mission field, there's a great, great need, because that's been the forgotten area of deaf ministry. And we need to do more to help reach out and train people to go reach the deaf around the world. According to a survey, and this was in 1969, 1 out of every 1,000 people in Africa is deaf. That's talking about profoundly deaf people. That was in 69. I don't know what it's like today. People ask me, what causes deafness? Well, there are 4 reasons, principally. Number 1, it's hereditary. But contrary to popular belief, only 10% of people who are deaf are born to parents who are deaf. That's all. That was one of the problems in Peru. There's such a bias against the deaf, and they for years would not allow deaf people to get married to other deaf people because they felt if 2 deaf people got married, they'd have deaf children. Well, that there's a chance of that, yeah. I know a deaf couple who has 9 or 10 deaf children. 10, 11 now. Deaf children. But that is absolutely the rarity. It's not the norm. The norm, excuse me, is 10%. The second reason why you have deafness is trauma. That's where people fall and hit their head or have or some kind of traumatic event that causes them to lose their hearing. And the third reason is lack of medical intervention, and that's where you have fevers and things like that. You remember in America they had a big case of the German measles in the 50s. And because of the German measles, a lot of people became deaf because the temperatures were so high it burned out their auditory systems. Well, those people are not genetically deaf. They're deaf because of sickness. They're deaf because of trauma, because during the birth there was a trauma, they became deaf. Or because they hit their head and became deaf. There's all kinds of medical reasons why people become deaf, latent deafness after birth. And then the 4th reason, which I think is the most prevalent, at least in the United States that I know of why we have, it's called auditory exclusion. That's when you tell your teenage boys or girls, hey, got to take the trash out, huh? Sometimes I have auditory exclusion. It comes and goes, you know. Honey, can you get... sorry, I didn't hear you. Yeah, so, I mean, that's selective hearing. That's correct, yeah. But selective hearing doesn't sound so highfalutin as auditory exclusion. So if I said selective hearing at first, you'd know it was a joke. But if I say auditory exclusion, oh, wow, what is that? So In North America, there are many, many ministries and evangelists and churches and mission organizations that reach out to the deaf. We have Silent Word Ministries, and they're doing a tremendous job. David Bennett with Silent Word International has started international deaf ministries trying to reach people overseas, and they're doing a good job. There are Jim Sloan, there's Reggie Rempel, there's Ronnie Rice, there's all our plethora of deaf missions and ministries. A lot of them came out of working with the Bill Rice Ranch years ago. Maybe you may remember the Bill Rice Ranch had a big emphasis on deaf work, deaf camp. Now it's virtually gone. So there was a great, great push in America, and we still have many great men of God that are preaching the gospel to the deaf all throughout America and to reach them with the gospel. But that emphasis was never translated into missions. You know, we have a handful of deaf men on the mission field actually working in missions. Handful of hearing. Because to be quite frank with you and honest, deaf ministry is not easy. If you become a deaf pastor or a deaf minister, you're not going to be on the boards of the big conferences and congresses and be famous and all that. If that's what your goal is, you're not going to be one of those guys. In fact, if you're a deaf pastor at a church, you're probably going to be the first one that's cut when the budget crisis comes. I know several churches that have recently cut their budgets because of the need to cut it. And the first couple of people that went were the people who worked with the deaf. And so you know, not only that, deafness and deaf people are unique. And there are some that are awesome and you can have a very normal relationship with them. And there are others that are more like leeches. They'll suck you dry as soon as you become their friend. They latch onto you and you can't get them off. You know, it's a very unique ministry. It has a great range of needs that have to be ministered to. And some people, they just aren't cut out for it. Some people just can't learn the language. You would think sign language would be easy to learn, but I know several people who have been struggling with the language for years and have never been able to get it. I mean, they can kind of move, but it's not there. It's not fluid. Because everybody has different aptitudes. And just because a person can't get sign language doesn't mean they're not super intelligent. A contemporary with me, who actually was in the Navy with me when I was in the Navy, got involved in the same deaf ministry I did many years ago, and he still has not mastered sign language. So, you know, everybody is different. I do okay in Spanish. I'm by far no scholar in Spanish. All my children speak Spanish better than I do. But, I thought I'd go to Peru and learn Spanish lickety-split because I learned sign language lickety-split. It didn't work that way. So it's just the way it goes. But we've got to do something to reach out to these people, and there has to be an understanding and a need for it. And there's a lot about deaf culture that I could share with you, but I want to start giving you a little bit of a biblical perspective on deaf people, deafness, and special needs people. If you open your Bibles, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, please. The first thing I want you to see is they're God's creation. They're God's creation. They're not necessarily a result of sin. As you know, people get sick all the time. Not all sickness can be equated to sin in your life. Sometimes you just get sick. It's just the natural process of the natural laws that are extant in the world today. There is some sickness that's because of sin. We understand that. And when we get the situation right, God takes care of the sickness. But there's, you know, people get colds. You can be the greatest saint in the world. You're probably still going to get a cold. Amen? So, okay. They're God's creation. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind?" Note what God says. "Have not I the Lord?" God's telling Moses, when Moses is arguing with him about being his spokesman and telling him he can't speak well, this, that, and the other thing, God said, "Hey, wait a minute, folks. Who made the deaf? Who made the dumb? Who made the blind? Who made the seeing? Did not I do that?" So that verse is telling us clearly that God made these people on purpose. They're not an accident. If you have a special needs child that was born to you, it wasn't because you're some great wicked sinner and God doesn't love you. God gave you that special needs child because He could entrust you with that child. Because He believed and knows that you could take care of that child and you would glorify Him in how you take care of that child. Now, we don't all do well in that area. But the fact that we have a child shows us that we could have done a better job if we had understood God's perspective on the matter. So we need to understand that they are a creation of God. Now, the second thing is it brings God's consummation. Look with me to, God's care. Look at me with Leviticus 19:14. God's care. God cares about deaf people. Did you know that? God cares about hearing people too. Oh, of course, you knew that. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord." God's telling Israel, hey, now we understand, to be a priest, you could not be deaf. You could not be blind. You could not have any type of physical defect to be a priest and serve in the temple or the tabernacle. We understand that. God had a higher standard for those because it's a type of Christ and his sacrificial work as our high priest. And he is without blemish, without sin. And so we understand that. But he doesn't say that because if you have these things, you're of no value. God loves them, and he tells you, don't be cursing the deaf. Don't mock them. Don't make fun of them. Don't do that. Don't put stumbling blocks in front of the blind so you can laugh at them when they trip and fall. Hey, don't do that. That goes against my character. That goes against my love. So we're not to do those kind of things. So God cares for them. He didn't just create them. He cares for them. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." That just once again shows God's care, that he specifically talks about the deaf and the blind and halt and these people. He cares for them. Many of the miracles in the Word of God were for these type of people. Quickly run to John chapter 9. I want to show you something in John chapter 9, which is pretty interesting. We know the story of this blind man, but there's a principle here that I want you to see. John chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says here, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, think about this for just a minute. Here we have his disciples that have walked with Jesus for a time. And so they've been closest to Jesus. They've begun to learn his character, know more about him. And they ask this unique question based on their current philosophy of thinking, which is like so many of our philosophy of thinking. We have people in Peru. There was a lady. We knocked on her door, asked her if she had a deaf child because we heard she had a deaf son. And she invited us in the house. And as we were talking, she said, "Hey, do you have a deaf son?" "Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't have a deaf child. But on the sofa sitting over here on the left was that deaf man. Went over there, started talking, found out he was deaf. She just didn't want to admit it. She was embarrassed because she thought God was judging them, and that's why she had a deaf child." We need to get that out of our minds. Every child is a blessing from God. Every fruit of the womb, whether it be what we want to call normal or non-normal, is a blessing from God. And it's a challenge to us to raise those children. And some are more challenging than others. I've got normal hearing kids that are real challenges. And we have our little Joel who has Down syndrome, and he's a challenge. But that does not negate our responsibility to care for him. And that doesn't mean we were great sinners when Joel was born, but when James or Joseph or Julian was born, that we were normal, good law-abiding Christians. Look what it says in verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." Now, I want to step back for just a minute. Look at what the disciples asked. Who did sin? Him? He was born blind. So when did he sin? Hello, McFly. Ding, 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 ding. How could the man sin in his mother's womb? Now, I realize we're all born in sin, but the disciples asked a pretty brain-dead question. Who did sin? Him or his parent? Now, I can understand the parent question. But him? He was born that way. Okay? So Jesus, he just answers. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. But note what he says. But that the works of God should be manifest in him. You see, God knew that one day Jesus would pass by and a great miracle of healing would take place in this blind man's life. And I bet you this blind man would be grateful to have been born blind and grow up blind and suffer all the indignation of being blind to one day have an encounter with Jesus that would change his life. You see, people are born in these situations to reflect God in them. How you and I react and treat a person of this type, blind, deaf, whatever, how we respond to these people is a reflection of God's love. And us as Christians, as people who profess Christ, who supposedly are the ones that love God and bask in the agape love of God, which is an unconditional love, for us to be the ones that reject or to diminish the value of one of these such as this, does not bode well for us. Because we're the ones that are supposed to reflect the love of Christ. So that the lost people will look at us and say, hey, there's something different about those folks. They care for these people that are the castaways of our society. Can't tell you how many times when people ask us, police stop us or this, that, and they're like, what are you guys doing here? Why are you? Well, we have a school, a church, an orphanage for the deaf. Oh, really? Oh, that's wonderful. We don't have to do it. You know, the ministry basically the Department of Health and Human Services in Peru, I guess whatever your version of that here is in Wisconsin, their version of it in Peru has no special home or special way to care for deaf children. So they're happy to send them to us because they don't have anything for them. If they have a deaf child that comes in, they put them in their regular homes and they get beaten up, abused, you know, all the things you can think of and just abandoned. They don't get any help. And so we take them in. And they're happy to give them to us. So I want to tell you something. God cares for you. And He made that special needs person in your life there because God wants to reflect His will, His love through you and how you care for that person. It's a ministry. God gave you a homegrown ministry. Amen? So we need to think about that. And then God's consummation. In Isaiah 29:18, the Bible says, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. I want you to imagine if you are deaf or if you are blind from birth and if you are deaf and never heard hearing a bird sing. James said to me the other day, my oldest son that's with us, James said to me, he said, Dad, it's just wonderful to wake up and listen to the birds sing. It's just beautiful. I said, yeah, it is, isn't it? Thank the Lord that we can do that. You know, to a blind person, to be able to see the beautiful vistas that we get to see, they cannot see, and to wake up in glory and be able to see things far beyond, I would think that they're going to be able to appreciate the voice of Jesus and the beauty and the majesty of the throne of God. Maybe a little more than us. It's just going to be a great day to see when God takes this corruption and makes it incorruption. This mortality makes it immortal. That's going to be a wonderful day. And I'm so excited about that day because I know a lot of deaf, blind folks, who are saved now. And one day they're going to get up to heaven and they're going to go like Kent Hovind used to say, ah, red. Ooh, isn't that neat? Because all their senses and the senses that we are not able to exercise will be exercised and they'll be able to appreciate it more, I believe. That's a personal opinion. Isaiah 35:5. The Bible says, then the eyes of the blind shall be open and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. There's going to be a day when that's going to happen. Now listen, folks. I can open the eyes or the ears of the deaf, but I can do it through their eyes. I can give them language. I can give them hope. I can give them salvation. I can be an ambassador of God to transmit these things to them, and the power of God can work in their life through my hands. So I can give them a taste of heaven on the earth as I minister to them. And that's what it's all about. And that's why we need more folks going to the deaf and reaching them. You know, again, we had a deaf church. I did not start our ministry. A deaf man started our ministry many years ago. In fact, in May, we'll be celebrating the 35th year of our church. I'm excited about that. But think about this. Deaf people generally have hearing kids, too. And we can't neglect the hearing that are around the deaf either. So now we're reaching out to the hearing. We started a hearing ministry in our deaf church. And the hearing ministry is growing big. But God convicted me one day. He said, you know, you're a minister to the deaf, and you reach out and you da 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 da. But what about the hearing people around you? You're going to let them die to go to hell around the shadow of your steeple? But Lord, I've got a hearing church right next door. We have an independent Baptist church right next door. Right next door on the same piece of ground, right next door. But God said, there's people that you're not, that they're not reaching that you can reach. And I want you to do it. But what about the ethics? Let me worry about man's ethics. You do what I tell you to do. So we started a hearing ministry. And it's grown. And God's blessed. And we try to be ethical about it with our neighbor. But God is blessed. And so deaf and hearing working together, we're able to reach now. Now we can support more missionaries. We can do a whole lot more now than we were able to do before. And now at least I have a church of hearing people that are sensitive to the needs of the deaf. And our goal is, we have missionaries in Venezuela, we have missionaries in Argentina, we have missionaries in Ecuador working with the deaf. And God is doing a tremendous job. But we have to realize the deaf can do it, but they can't do it alone. They need hearing people to work with them. And hearing people need the deaf if we're going to really reach the deaf for Christ. Because the deaf is a very closed community many times. And it takes other deaf people to get into that community. Which declaration of God would you desire that the deaf hear for the first time? This one from Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'd like for the deaf to hear that. Wouldn't you? Amen? Mm-hmm. How about this one? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. A lost deaf man is equally responsible for his sin just as a saved one. And somebody needs to go tell them this truth. They are without excuse, and that is true. A deaf person can understand right or wrong. They don't qualify for the exemption of, if you don't know the law, then there's no sin. They're not like a child who is innocent until he reaches an age of accountability. They're not like David's son who he's going to see one day in heaven. The deaf can know and understand right and wrong. They can know because right and wrong are not abstract concepts. They're concrete concepts. And so a deaf person will burst hell wide open just like a hearing person. The problem is, to reach a deaf person, somebody has to go above and beyond the call of duty. Somebody has to learn another language, even another subculture in any culture they're at, so that they can hear the gospel and go to heaven as well. So you need to understand, if God puts an importance on them, God says, I created them, God says, I want to protect them, and I'm going to warn you not to be a stumbling block before the blind and not to mock the deaf, I'm warning you, don't do that, because I created them for a purpose. Now I want you to fulfill your purpose in reaching them, because I want them to be saved too. And that's what it's all about. That's what we call the ministry of reconciliation that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made us ambassadors. He gave us authority. Then he gave us his word of reconciliation, which is the guidebook of how to apply the authority he's given us, the message. We're his messenger. Now, think about this. An ambassador doesn't say what the ambassador wants to say. The ambassador says what the head of state wants to say, whether he agrees with it or not. Whether you like the way God's done it or not, that's none of your business. We just need to do it the way God said to do it because he said to do it that way. Amen? So missions is a part of what God wants us to do. Reaching the deaf is part of what God... It's part of the Great Commission. He's not willing that any hearing should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he doesn't care about the deaf, right? Ooh, is that what that verse says? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And that includes the deaf. And we need to reach him for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't have a watch. What time? We got 10 minutes. Oh, great. I got 10 minutes. I can ramble on for 10 more minutes. But I want you to see that connection. Go with me to Mark chapter 7. I suppose I ought to give you all a chance to ask questions. Look at this passage of Scripture. Begin reading in verse 31. The Bible says, "And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him." Now this person wasn't just deaf. This person had an impediment in his speech. He couldn't speak. So this person never could even form words. Even if he wasn't deaf, there was something wrong physiologically that he could not form words. So there was no, this was a absolutely non-verbal, non-communicative deaf person. Other than whatever home signs he invented, because there was no formal Israeli sign language of this day. So he was working or he was playing, who knows? The Bible doesn't say what he was doing. But he did have some friends who had heard about Jesus. And the friends that heard about Jesus brought him, went and got him. Who knows how? Hey, come, amigo, yeah, come on. He's like, okay. And he goes over there, and they're all beaming, they show up. He's deaf. Now notice what they asked him to do. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in speech, and they beseech him to what? Put his hands upon him. I don't know if they were as much interested in the healing or if they're more interested in the show. You know, deaf people don't like to be made fun of. They don't like to be made spectacles of. You know how I know, or how I would presume that they were looking more to see the spectacle than they were really actually caring for their deaf friend. Now listen, I don't care what motivation you use to bring someone to the feet of Jesus. If you got some bad motives, God will even use your bad motives to get someone saved. But look what the next verse says. And he took him aside from the multitude. How many times do you ever see Jesus taking someone aside from the multitude when he was healing somebody? There's only one other time that I can think of right off the top of my head where he kicked people out because they were laughing at him. When the young girl was dead. Remember that? He said, no, she's sleeping. They, what do you think you are? Get out. The only time Jesus did that when they were mocking. So this tells me not everything was altruistic in the mindset of the people that brought this deaf man to Jesus. Because he brought him to the side apart. What he's doing is he's showing Jesus is showing this deaf man that he cared about him. That he gave this man value in his life. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spit and touched his tongue. Now, why did he do that? Could Jesus not heal him with just a spoken word? Could Jesus not heal him with just maybe a smack on the head? Be healed! Couldn't he have done that? That's what they wanted. But see, Jesus was doing something much more profound here. Jesus was communicating with this deaf man in a language he could understand. This deaf man had never seen Jesus before. He had no idea who he was. So Jesus would have no reason to know that he was deaf and mute, with a special reason for being mute. So Jesus touches his ears, spits and touches his tongue, and he says, and this deaf man says, this guy knows my problem. So now he has his attention. Because Jesus found the language that he could communicate with this man in and used it. Isn't that all a missionary does? Goes to a foreign country, to a foreign people, and tries to find their language and uses it. You can go to Australia, you can go to New Zealand, you can go to England, and you go to Ireland, Wales, Scotland, any place like that that supposedly speaks English, and you know there's some things you're going to have to learn about their English. It's a little bit different. So Jesus is now communicating with this deaf man in a language that he could understand. And then look what he says. Verse 34, and looking up to heaven, he sighed. Now, why did he do that? Jesus was showing this deaf man that he had compassion for him and he cared about him. And that what was about to happen to him doesn't come from man. It comes from heaven above. And he saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And that's where Ephphatha Ministries got its name from. Ephphatha is the Spanish transliteration of the word Ephphatha. Ephphatha, be open. Notice the deaf man didn't get healed when Jesus touched him. The deaf man got healed when the word of God was spoken. Lost people out there aren't going to get healed by your manipulation of physical things around them. They're going to get healed when the word of God is spoken and they can understand it. Be open. And what does it say? 6 months after therapy, intensive study, his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loose and he spake more or less. No, my Bible says, and straightway his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loose and he spake how? This guy was speaking Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic better than you and I, just like that. He spake plain. He had never heard a word in his life. See, when Jesus does a healing, he does it right. Amen. There is no doubt that it was supernatural. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. That was just psychology there, Jesus saying, don't tell anybody. Okay, we're going to go tell everybody. They must have been independent Baptist preachers. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, notice this, what they were shocked about. He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. They weren't necessarily marveling at the physical healing. They were marveling at this, the miracle, the cerebral or intellectual miracle that took place to allow this man to hear and speak normal as if he had been doing it all his life. Now, I've been learning Spanish for 14 years. I promise you, I haven't conquered it yet. And if you come down and work with us, you're going to have to go to language school, and after a year of language school, you're still going to feel inadequate. But that didn't happen with this guy. But I have read testimonies of a missionary who was on the foreign field in China, and he couldn't master the language. And a young missionary came and joined him. He'd been there for decades. Young missionary came and joined him and learned the language like that. And one day he was trying to speak and preach to the Chinese people that he was dealing with. And they said, stop, preacher. We want to hear him because we don't understand you. We understand him quite well. Broke the heart of that missionary. So what did he do? He quit and gave up and went home? No. He fasted and prayed and begged God for a miracle. And God miraculously gave him the gift of tongues. Now I'm not talking about blah, 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 blah. In a short period of time, he was the one translating the language. He was, and his Chinese language was so impeccable, people thought he was from China. Now that's what I call a miracle. Okay? So what I'm telling you here is when God does something, he does it well. And he used the deaf man to do it right here. So don't tell me that deaf people don't have value, and don't tell me that blind people don't have. Don't tell these people that you know we have these our shepherds ministries for our children with Down syndrome. Don't look down upon them. And bless God, thank God for every person who sacrifices to work with those people, because let me tell you something, it's not easy. But it reflects the love of God when we care for the people that they cannot care for themselves in some form or fashion. But Jesus, number one, he gave them their dignity. Number two, he communicated with them in a language they could understand. Number three, he let them know the power that's going to do the work in you comes from heaven, not from man. And number four, he's going to do it so well that they marvel. Isn't that what salvation's all about? There is no greater miracle on the face of the earth than the salvation of a soul. And he gave you and us the power to do it. Angels can't do it. Angels don't have the authority. Angels don't understand the grace of God, because there was no grace for the fallen angels. The angel told Cornelius, go call Peter. He'll tell you what to do, because I can't. And Cornelius got saved because Peter obeyed and went and witnessed to him, and he got saved in his family. So don't diminish what your responsibility and what your honor and blessing is to be an ambassador for God, not only to the hearing people and the people of your own language, but to people in other countries and cultures, in subcultures, that if it weren't for you helping reach those people, they might never hear the gospel and be saved. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. I pray that you'll bless now their service today. Bless the pastor, fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit of God as he preaches. And Lord God, I pray you'll bless every teacher and everyone who's working here today to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.